From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. How was your summer? Mine started off great, but essentially ended with a 500-pound ATV landing on top of me on the Oregon sand dunes. It's been a while since my accident, but Oregon on the Record is back. Today, you'll hear from some of the doctors and healthcare professionals who helped me recover from multiple broken bones and a serious injury to my lungs. Perhaps more than ever, recovery from a serious accident is truly a team effort. So I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey, first to the coast where my accident occurred and the ER docks at Peace Harbor, then to River Bend in Springfield where I needed emergency surgery, and finally to where home health therapists worked to get me back on my feet. I hope none of you have to go through what I did, but if you do, here's a snapshot of what it might be like. July 20th was one of my worst days, and I want to use today's show to take you on an audio journey about the team that helped me stabilize and ultimately recover. Healthcare is incredibly complex and requires a true team approach, and I think many people can benefit from learning how the individual professionals work together. First up, you'll hear from the ER docs that first worked on me. Dr. Carrie Shannon, who is a physician in the emergency department of Peace Harbor Medical Center in Florence. Really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
No problem.
Yeah. The last time you and I met, I wasn't doing too well. And thanks to you and your team, I'm certainly doing a lot better. You know, I kind of wanted to ask you just to sort of start with, you know, there's kind of this sort of Hollywood version of what an emergency room looks like and what the doctors there do. But I wanted you to give us kind of a, for people who've never been in an emergency, talk about your role, talk about the job of an emergency room physician.
Well, a lot of it is what you would expect. We mainly see patients. We hear what's going on and what issue brought them to the department, and we try to figure out what's going on and how we can help them. But we play a lot of bigger roles in the department as well. We help decide who needs to be seen first, who is more critical. We help set the tone in the department. So if we are calm, it helps the entire team be calm and manage patients appropriately. We are teachers. We have students who come through the emergency department who we help teach how to be NPs or PAs or doctors. And we have mid-level providers that we help teach and give advice on what we might do on a particular patient.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You just talked about the various roles that are part of the department, both as teaching as well as in practice. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the workings of the emergency room, but also, you know, talk about the teamwork and the team aspect of delivering care to patients. I think it's kind of fascinating. It's such a, for those of us unlucky enough to be patients in an emergency room, it's an incredibly busy place. A lot's going on. Talk about how that kind of all comes together as a team.
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that, because teamwork in an emergency department is incredibly critical to providing good care. The communication between different members of the team could make or break a way something goes down with a patient. There's a large number of people involved, from registration staff to laboratory and radiology staff. The patient will see the medical technicians, nurses, mid-level providers, and doctors. There's also numerous other people involved that are a bit behind the scenes, such as cleaning staff, security, dietary staff, and all of these different people come together to help care for a patient. Now, in a room, for instance, in your setting, when you're coming in as a trauma, there's a lot of people who will be in the room almost right away, getting lab work, putting you on the monitor, documenting what's going on and what meds will be given. A physician will come in and do a comprehensive physical exam quite quickly to decide if any emergency interventions need to be done right away and decide what imaging and other work needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah. I remember parts of it. So, you know, I was injured on an ATV at the dunes there in Florence. And it was a beautiful day. Lots of people were out, you know, on ATVs as well. And my question for you is certainly specific to Florence. Do you see some seasonality in terms of sort of the injuries and accidents that you see? And I'm kind of wondering, you know, obviously a lot of people go to the coast in the summertime. Do you see an increased number of patients due to injuries from outdoor activities?
Oh, most definitely. So our summertime volumes in general increase, both just because people are outdoors and playing and getting themselves injured, and also because the volume of the population in the town increases in the summer with people on vacation. And there are some of our retired community will be here in part of the year when the weather is nice and go elsewhere in the winter. So the general population goes down, and that is reflected in the volume of people we see in the department. As far as the dunes injuries itself, we certainly see a lot more of those during the summer, and in particular on lovely days in the summer and in the, you know, late spring and early fall, people will be outside, and, you know, I'll expect to see several traumas off the dunes on a day like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just looking sort of at the year in total, I'm wondering, you know, are there particular causes of injuries that you see that might surprise people? I mean, obviously, I'm sure we're all understand about traffic accidents, car accidents, stuff. But are there things that maybe people engage in that many of us may not think, oh, well, that could lead to a visit to the emergency room, but in fact, it does?
Well, that's an interesting question. One thing that occurred to me is it would occur to people that they might get injured on the sand dunes, but I think one of the stories I very frequently hear on the sand dunes, particularly from people who come from out of town, is that they're not expecting the cliffs that are present on the dunes. So they'll be going up what they think is a gradual type hill, and they'll hit the top of it and it'll just drop. And they're, you know, going on a vehicle that has a motor, and they just go over the cliff. And the number of people who come in very surprised that happened is quite large. And so I would advise people just to be aware of that. And if they can't see what's happening to the hill on the other side, to avoid going over it.
Yeah, you just described exactly what happened to me.
It's honestly one of the most frequent stories I get off the dunes, is people just either the sands move relatively quickly, so the shape they're in and the hills they have are differing over time, and the cliffs that are present to certainly surprise people.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you know, as a doctor in an emergency room, like me, you tend to see people on one of their worst, if not worst, days. How do you help, you know, manage their fear, their apprehension? You know, they're scared. You know, how do you do that? Obviously, you're taking care of the body and the injury, but, you know, how do you care for the person? But then also, you know, how do you manage? It's a very stressful situation. And I imagine as a team, it's very frenetic. How do you manage both the patient's fear, but also manage your team's just stress and frenetic energy, if you will?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, with respect to the patient, just understanding, as you said, that this is potentially one of the worst days of their life. And although you see these type of injuries all the time, they don't experience them that way. And recognizing that and listening to them and trying to provide them the care that they need, letting them know what's going on and, you know, what the plan is for the day. And then, you know, when you come in with bad news, giving them a warning shot that is what's about to happen, and sitting down with them and listening, it's really important. I think I do rely on my team. As you said, we have, you know, great nursing staff, great other staff come by. We sometimes have people request pastoral care to come sit with them in times of need. And it's great to have those resources as well, to be with people when they're struggling.
Yeah, yeah. And what about your team, just in terms of, you know, obviously you're in many ways, I imagine the doctor, the physician such as yourself, is kind of the leader in sort of that presence. You know, how do you kind of, is there times when you need to kind of help, you know, kind of help your team kind of, you know, maybe take some of the stress out of it? Or is it just because that's such a familiar environment to them, it really doesn't cause stress?
Oh, I think we are certainly used to seeing trauma and seeing devastation in mm-hmm. people's lives. That's part of our role. And so I think sometimes it doesn't provide a huge amount of trauma to our staff, but other times it does. I think there are certain cases that stick with you, and, you know, it'll stick with you for decades.
Yeah.
I have ones I've seen, you know, I think I trained in Baltimore in the inner city, and I saw a lot of horror and murder and heartache, and some of those cases, you know, still stay with me today.
Yeah.
I think in particular, the ones that show what we are capable of doing to each other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Doctor, my last question for you is sort of this. You talked about training in the East Coast in Baltimore, but you know, I imagine when a physician such as yourself, when you graduate medical school, and I know that there's a lot of different, you know, paths that a doctor can go down. What's it about working at an emergency room that, you know, is both, I imagine, you know, there's a lot of it that you really enjoy, you know, kind of talk about what is it about working in that environment that drew you to becoming an emergency room physician?
Well, there's a number of things about being in the emergency department that I really love. I like seeing people of all walks of life. Mm-hmm. I like being able to take care of children through the elderly. I find it gratifying to have a sense of how to treat people of no matter what is going on with them. Mm-hmm. I enjoy really being able to help people when they're in a time of need. And that is kind of quintessential to the emergency department. And although I don't necessarily want to be on, you know, 100% high acuity patients all the time, I enjoy being able to provide that for them and occasionally save lives and be able to get to change the trajectory of what happens to people down the road.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Carrie Shannon, she is an emergency room physician at Peace Harbor Medical Center in Florence. Thanks so much for talking to me and thanks so much for what you did for me more than a month ago.
You're welcome. And I'm so glad to hear you're doing well. And I wish you a speedy recovery through your physical therapy and the rest of the process to getting well.
I really appreciate that. Take care.
Thanks.
Now you'll hear from a respiratory therapist at Sacred Heart who was there during the worst of my ordeal, a hemothorax and rapidly filling of my chest with blood. Rob Schrader, a respiratory therapist at Peace Health Riverbend, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
No problem.
Yeah, you know, you and I met at one of my low points in my life after I had emergency surgery for fluid in my lungs, and you're a respiratory therapist. Again, thank you so much for what you did for me. But I wanted to kind of, you know, let the audience know, explain, you know, what a respiratory therapist does, because it seems like a pretty highly, you know, highly skilled and highly somewhat of a unique job. Talk about what you do.
Yeah, well, of course, everybody needs to breathe, so it becomes very important. We as respiratory therapists are present from childbirth all the way up until the time of death. Mm-hmm. And we're just taking care of the lungs in collaboration with the nurses who take care of the rest of the body. We form an important team in taking care of the body and getting people better. We have countless modalities to do that, and some of them are very taxing on the patients, but in the end, it helps them a lot. And I couldn't do all that without the nurses, and I work with some amazing nurses, and I give a lot of the credit to them, and the team effort is ever so important.
And I echo that, and my own personal experience when I had respiratory distress, and this was happening to me, I was amazed. I almost hate to say this because it felt almost like a TV show or a movie that we're all used to seeing for an emergency situation. So many people in the room, but so much teamwork and so much coordination
That's the thing. The coordination has to be there for obviously things to run smoothly, and if you know your coworker and you know, of course, if you trust your coworker and it runs smoothly and you know what the other person's doing, and it emanates in a fluid motion.
Yeah.
And I think you know, a patient seeing that, if they're afraid, which a lot of times they are because they're sick, they see that fluid motion, and that helps calm them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, Rob, my last question for you is you know, and you've done this for going on three decades. You know, what is the most rewarding aspect of your job?
Well, times like this, when I see the end result of my efforts, is the most rewarding, and I want to recall a certain event early in my career that a couple of them actually, okay. If I may.
Sure.
Early in my career, I was working retail on the side during the day to try to supplement my income. And I was in the store, and this family walked in, and this young gal said, that's him. And I was afraid I was in trouble. And she came running over and she said, you're the guy that saved my dad. And she gave me a big hug. And it was just amazing. I asked how he was and all that. And it's just amazing how far reaching, you know, a good effort can be if your heart is in it.
Yeah. You're the guy. I'll say it as well. And really, really appreciate what you did for me. And also really appreciate you coming on and sharing that. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm so glad that you're doing well.
Me too. After 9 days at Sacred Heart, I went home. But my journey wasn't ending because home health and physical therapy was just as important as any treatment I received in the hospital. Aaron Enright, a licensed physical therapist assistant in home health here in Eugene. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Yeah, well, gosh, I mean, the last time I saw you, you were in my home providing physical therapy to me as I was recovering from injury, and it's been going great. You know, I kind of wanted just to ask you a few questions. You provide in-home care, in-home physical therapy. You know, talk about the benefits of that, of providing that kind of care in a familiar surrounding.
When patients are released from the hospital, a lot of times they're fresh out of surgery or have an acute injury, a traumatic event, or a life-altering experience that can be very difficult and scary for them to navigate. For those first few days and weeks at home, activities and function can be extremely difficult and painful. What was once easy and came natural can become extremely challenging, such as even just getting on and off the toilet or in and out of bed or getting in the shower, up and down steps. The doctors, the surgeons, the nurses, they provide a life-saving care that gets patients to this point. But once you come home, you have to relearn how to care for yourself in your home sometimes. As home healthcare workers, we have a unique opportunity to come into the home and assess your home environment, assess the challenges you're going to face, determine what tools and assistive equipment could make things easier and safer for you. We're able to observe you in your environment and give one-on-one guidance and help you adapt to your new circumstances while you work your way back to your previous level of function. We're the go-between, the hospital and the outpatient PT clinic, providing acute care in the home itself.
Sometimes I imagine some of your patients might be fearful of, you know, moving their body because they're still dealing with injury. How do you motivate, encourage patients to do the things that they need to do on the road to recovery, but also, you know, allaying those fears about, you know, re-injury or something? I mean, I took some of my first steps with you not using a walker, and I was probably a little bit fearful. Talk about how you do that.
Sure. Well, we're able to take as big or as small of steps as a patient needs, and every care plan has a custom element to the patient's needs and includes their own goals and their own feedback. So basing a patient's care plan on their own goals is extremely important for making progress and decreasing fear of the unknown. We also utilize doctors' orders and parameters all along the way, such as restrictions on how much weight you can place on an arm or a leg, or how much range of movement the doctor will allow you to perform. And in the home, setting goals is usually very motivating because people want to be able to get back to doing what they love, what makes them feel good and normal after a traumatic injury. And usually I find with the right style and amount of goal setting, patients become more engaged and willing to keep going along the healing path. And gentle encouragement and celebrating each victory along the way helps a lot.
You know, Erin, probably my last question for you is this. Maybe you could give us an example, you know, just generally speaking of a client you've had recently that really made that impressive recovery from a traumatic injury.
You know, Michael, the cool thing about working in physical therapy is that it's extremely rewarding mm-hmm. a lot of the time, meaning there are tons of positive outcomes. I've seen dozens of patients who have fallen, sometimes off sidewalks, sometimes off of stairs, sometimes off the side of a mountain, or they've been in car accidents, or they were hit by a car when walking. The large majority of the time, there is solid progress with most of these patients. But in home health, we don't usually see the end product of a patient's entire healing journey. We see patients for, on average, a month or two, mm-hmm. and then they usually transition to outpatient PT, where they continue their program. We don't have the pleasure of following them all the way through when we work in home health,
sure.
but we do get to see them return to a place of function where they are now able to, say, drive again, or they're able to use the shower on their own, or they can now take the stairs all the way to the top level of their home or the bottom level. They can walk without an assistive device again, or they've cut their pain in half, or sometimes gotten rid of their pain completely. And these are all what I would consider impressive outcomes after experiencing a traumatic injury.
Erin Enright, assistant physical therapist for home health here in Eugene. Again, thank you so much for what you did for me and for certainly talking with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad you're doing so much better, Michael.
Thank you. That's the show for today. I want to doubly thank the people you've heard on the show for talking with us, but also for helping me heal. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow, you'll hear a conversation with the supervisor of Lane County's new mobile mental health crisis program. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.